Please open to the Gospel according to John, and I'll pick up where we left off this morning. John 1, 19 through 24. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. The witness, John, gave his testimony. The Jews sent priests and Levites to find out the identity of this man. A man such as John made an impression upon people. The Father chose this man to be the witness to His Son. And people could sense that there was something special about this man. So who is he? The witness for the Son of God would make people wonder about the witness Himself. Great was His testimony. They asked, "Who are you?" Knowing their curiosity, He denied being the Christ. "I am not who you're wondering I am." If He was not the Christ, they wondered, well, perhaps He is the one who is going to come before the Christ. They wanted to know, therefore, whether John was Elijah. The last prophet that God used to speak to Israel was Malachi. And interestingly, the last three verses of the book of Malachi speak about the very things that we're reading about here in the Bible. The last thing God said in the Old Testament was, "I'm going to send Elijah before I arrive on the scene." So they wondered, is this Elijah, the real, literal man, Elijah? After all, Elijah never died, but he went straight to heaven. So they're wondering, is he going to come back to live out the rest of his life? And the way he will live it out is to be the forerunner before the Christ. No, that might have been the way the Jews thought, but God never hinted that it would be that way. Someone would come who would be like Elijah. His spirit, his power, and his work would be like the spirit, power, and work of Elijah. Therefore, John denied being Elijah. Figuratively speaking, alone, John was Elijah. But if he was not the person of Elijah, they wondered, well, maybe he's the prophet foretold by Moses, the prophet who would be just like Moses. John was not that man. Well, obviously, John was someone special with this work, with this special work, who then was he? They wanted to know. What would he say about himself? He was not Elijah in the flesh. He was not the prophet like Moses. However, he was literally the voice crying in the wilderness. That's the one Isaiah wrote about. What was that voice crying in the wilderness according to Isaiah? He was commanding that the way be made straight before the Lord. In other words, the king is coming. Make his way ready. Level the place. Clean it up. Make it holy and proper for the regal appearance of the king himself. The king, this king, is the Word who was with God and is indeed God. He is the light who's full of grace and truth. So someone had to go before him and make the announcement that he's arriving and prepare the way. Just like any world leader, the way is prepared before he comes. If our president came here, there would be people who would come here ahead of time and prepare the way for him. Such a king, especially a king like this one, cannot be welcomed half-heartedly. The Jews, John noted, who sent the priests and the Levites were Pharisees. Oh, everything we have been reading so far, what I showed you this morning and what I'm showing you now until that line has been just pure goodness. And all of a sudden, we're introduced to the bad guys. From the very beginning, there were the troublemakers. From the very beginning, there were some who wondered about this guy. Who is this man? Verses 25-28. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Beth Abara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. If John was not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why then did he baptize? Baptism meant something. The Jews knew that. And they wanted to know what it meant and who he was to do this baptizing. Yes, John baptized, but only with water. Baptism was important, but it did not necessarily make John important. What he did was only important because of who was coming after him. Who was coming after him made what John was doing important. He who was coming after John the witness was already among them, and they did not know it, or did not know him. In verse 27, John the Apostle recalled the words of John the Witness from verse 15. Again, verse 15 said, "John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. That one whom John's talking about announced to the priests and Levites, John announced to them that he was already in their presence. Not only is he coming after me, he's already here. He's among you. He's been walking among you. Excuse me. And you don't even know it. And his greatness far surpassed the greatness of John, who was a mere witness. John was not even worthy to do the lowliest task of undoing the sandal strap of this one who was among them. And again, ironically, they didn't even know that they had such a great person among them. Consider just how great John was. Did you hear carefully what Caleb read earlier from Matthew 3? In that passage, we are informed. Matthew informs us of just how popular John was. Listen again. Matthew 3:5-6. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region about the Jordan, or around the Jordan, went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. What would you think if a preacher came rolling into town and all of Grants Pass, all of the small towns around, Medford, all of Josephine County and Jackson County, all come down here to the Rogue River and he's baptizing all of them? We'd wonder about this guy. We'd want to know who he is. His popularity would be immense. We'd think he's someone great. That was John. That's what was going on here. Yet John said that he was not even worthy to loose the sandal strap of a man who was already sitting among them in the synagogues or walking with them in the market. Who could this mysterious man among them be? Well, he was the Word, who was in the beginning with God and was, in fact, God Himself. He was the light. How can you hide somebody like that? He put on human flesh. Like we put on clothes and we hide most of our true self, he put on flesh and hid in that flesh. He became flesh, becoming just like us. Now I want you to think about this, brethren. You could have been in Nazareth, in the synagogue, and God sat right next to you, and you didn't even know it. The one who said, "Let there be light," and suddenly there was light, you had just shook his hand and said, "Good to see you today. How are things going with you? How are things going at the carpenter shop?" Would you just think about that this week? Or can we? Well, it's almost like it's impossible to even comprehend that. Then John the Apostle added that these things happened while John was baptizing on the other side of the Jordan. John is not even in Jerusalem. People are making a point of going out to him. His testimony about the coming one was so great, people wanted to have a part of what he was doing. Perhaps they understood he's preparing us to receive the great king when he comes here. Verses 29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." In Genesis 22, Abraham took his son Isaac to make a sacrifice. Isaac was old enough to know what was going on and how it was performed. And he looked at what he and his father had. They had one item, they had another item that was necessary, but there was a third thing missing. And he asked his father about it. Genesis 22:7 says, "But Isaac spoke to his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?'" We're going to make a burnt offering. Something's missing, Dad. We've got the fire and the wood. But where's the animal? Where is the lamb? The insightful Abraham gave this response in verse 8. "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Abraham was right. Therefore, when John saw Jesus approaching him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Look, there he is." And heaven agrees in Revelation chapter 5. Over 100 million angels made a mighty declaration with a loud voice in these words. Revelation 5:12. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and honor and strength and wisdom and glory and blessing." The Old Testament asked, "Where is the Lamb?" The New Testament answers, "Behold the Lamb of God." And heaven declares boldly and joyfully, "Worthy is the Lamb." Jesus is the Lamb of God, that Isaac was expecting, although he was not really aware of it. Is the one known as Jesus also the Word who is God and the light? John witnessed of Jesus when he approached John that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the man. He is the one who became flesh and is preferred before John because he was before John. Meaning, Jesus is the one who was in the beginning with God and is God. John was like the priests and the Levites, not knowing how to identify the right man as the Messiah, as the Christ, or as the Word who became flesh. However, John had to know. That explains why he baptized. As he baptized people, the Word in human flesh would one day approach John to be baptized. But John would still not really know who he was. Something would happen at the baptism of this one that would identify him to John as the coming one who was actually before John. John baptized Israelites, and even some Romans approached him. But by this way, the Israelites would see and know who is the Christ. It happened. One day, as John baptized, this man Jesus came to John to be baptized like everyone else. When John baptized Jesus, something wonderful happened. Heaven opened. And the Spirit of God descended, coming down as a dove would come down from flying. John didn't see a dove. I think we often believe that. He saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove would. The Spirit rested upon Jesus, not going away as a real dove would. A real dove might come and land on us. You know what happened here to someone recently? I don't remember who it was. One of the ladies here in the congregation. Well, I don't know if it was a dove or not, but she said the bird came and I think landed on her head. But then it went away. It's still not there. Because if she's here tonight, I don't see any birds on anybody's heads. But when the Spirit, like a bird, came and landed upon Jesus, He didn't go away. He stayed with Him. John did not know which man among them was the Word become flesh. Therefore, God revealed to the witness that as He would baptize, a man would come to Him, and then John would see heaven open up, and the Holy Spirit descending and remaining on a certain man. John could then know that was the man. That was the man who would actually baptize with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water. And he would baptize with water the one who would baptize some men with the Holy Spirit. He who baptizes with water is greater than water because he uses the water. The water does not use him. He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit is greater than the Holy Spirit because he uses the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not use him. who then is this Jesus? That He is even greater than the Holy Spirit. Who is this man, this young man from Nazareth, that He's even greater than the Spirit of God, who was over the face of the waters in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1? When we read that there in Genesis 1, there was someone there greater than the Spirit of God. He is the Christ. He is the Word. He is the Creator. He is God. He is the Light. He is the Lamb of God. And He is all the fullness of God, dispensing grace upon grace and revealing truth upon truth to anyone who accepts Him and believes in His name. Therefore, John gave his testimony of what he had seen. John ended our narrative for tonight by saying that he had seen and had testified that this Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you want others to believe that He is the Son of God? Do you want others to understand that Jesus is the Word, the Creator, that He is God, the Light, the Lamb of God who takes away their sins, who is willing to give His fullness and grace and truth to anyone who comes to Him? Please invite them to hear these messages on the Gospel according to the Eagle. The Gospel according to John. Like the seraphim, living creatures, announces to the world that Jesus is holy, 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 and the whole earth is full of His glory. The one who was on the throne in Isaiah's vision became flesh, bringing His glory with Him to the earth. The writing of John the Apostle, like the living creatures in Ezekiel chapter 1, lift up the Lord of glory and take Him all through the earth, announcing to the world who He is, that everyone might see, accept, and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing in His name, they can have eternal life. Do you want that for yourself and for all people you know? Well then, don't hold yourself back. When we read through John, we're going to find one who did not hold himself back, but gave his all. Let's give our all to Him. Do you want our help in doing that? Or would you like to say, well, you know what? I want to rededicate myself to help the church to do that. If you need to rededicate yourself to Christ tonight, we'd love to receive you and pray for you, that you may in turn receive us and pray for us and help us. If you're ready to do that, please come forward now as we stand and sing.